This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. Around this time of the summer, lots of folks in these parts are usually getting ready for one of the biggest outdoor events of the year, the Jefferson County All-County Picnic at H.J. Carroll Park in Port Hadlock. They come together on what is usually a beautiful summer day and enjoy free music, free corn on the cob, and free admission. The coronavirus pandemic may have put a dent in all that fun, but it did not have the last word. This week on The Compass, we talk with a man who helped make sure that the 2020 All-County Picnic would happen, albeit in a somewhat different way. And now, we go inside The Compass. For 8 years, the Jefferson County Department of Emergency Management has joined with many other organizations, like Local 2020, to put on an annual free summer picnic that's all about fun in the sun, while also offering products and information pertaining to safety and emergency preparedness. Danny Milholland is a local event producer who, along with many others, decided that COVID-19 was not going to shut down this event, at least not completely. We interviewed Milholland about what happened last Sunday, speaking with him in the only practical way during this pandemic, via telephone. This is anything but a normal year, but for those who don't know, what is the Jefferson County All-County Picnic all about in a normal year?
Picnic is all about strengthening community resilience and emergency preparedness through celebration, networking, collaboration, and, you know, using the picnic as a way to strengthen our community resilience in all those ways.
When was the first All-County Picnic and who started it?
The first annual All-County Picnic started in 2013. It was a partnership between Local 2020, which is Jefferson County's Transition Town Initiative, which is part of a kind of a international movement that is moving towards sustainability in communities throughout the world. Local 2020 partnered with the Jefferson County Department of Emergency Management to produce the first All-County Picnic. And essentially, Judy Alexander, Deborah Stinson, Thad Bickling, then Director of Emergency Management, Bob Hamlin, they were all kind of part of the core. There was a couple other core steering committee members to help launch it, but Judy reached out to me immediately following the first ever cake picnic, which happened just a few months prior to the county picnic. Judy said, hey, we're in partnership with the DEM. We really want to produce some kind of a community event that would engage people in the theme of emergency preparedness. And they reached out to me, and I was working under my company, Thunderbolt Productions, at that time. And they essentially hired me to help envision and create that event with them. So we did it collaboratively. Everyone was in that group was helped envision and create the picnic. And I kind of brought to the table this experience of, you know, being a producer of community events, primarily like fun, collaborative, intergenerational events. So I helped to create and bring some of that energy into the event, which featured live music, you know, free corn on the cob, lots of informational booths. There's around 40 different nonprofits and small businesses that, you know, show up at the picnic and share their information. We engaged our local first responders, police, fire, sheriff, to also be present and be part of the event. The chance for people to come in and meet their elected officials and law enforcement, etc., to strengthen, you know, build those connections and relationships, which ultimately, in the case of a large-scale emergency or disaster, having those relationships built up prior to that is part of the resilience building so that we can know each other, we can adapt to those scenarios, and so on and so forth. So the other piece of that that was a really important piece that had kind of momentum was already building for this was this neighborhood preparedness effort that had been this partnership between Local 2020 them, they've been working on this thing called NPREP, Neighborhood Preparedness Group, where essentially neighborhood organizers elect to help organize their own neighborhoods around the theme of preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
And so the picnic was largely a promotion for that effort, which is, I think we have now maybe over 147 organized neighborhoods in Jefferson County, and they vary in how tightly organized they are. Some of them are, you know, meeting up quarterly and running drills to prepare for earthquakes and whatnot, and others maybe host an annual potluck, and that's kind of the extent of how much effort they're putting into their preparedness. But out of that, in the past, now this was the eighth annual, so we've been doing this for quite some time. You know, every year one of the outcomes of the picnic is, you know, new neighborhood organizers stepping up to the plate and spearheading their own neighborhood organization. There's a lot of emphasis and resources, you know, placed on that. So there's always trainings that take place during the picnic and throughout the year on how to organize in your own neighborhood. That's kind of the backstory there.
So I have been to not all, but many of the annual all-county picnics. And this eighth annual one that you're talking about was very different from anyone before. How was it different? Tell us about what happened Sunday.
Sure. So clearly this year it wasn't an option to host a public gathering. We had run through a bunch of different ideas, and our hope was that we'd be at least in phase three and that we would be able to promote small but, you know, real neighborhood events throughout Jefferson County where neighbors could actually get together and, you know, hang out and chat. Phase three was looking as though you could have up to 50 people in a gathering, but as we got closer to the picnic, COVID continued as a real issue, you know, in our community as well as throughout the world, and here we are, we're still in phase two, and, you know, the max number of people you can have gathered is six people, so we shifted gears more than once leading up to the picnic to try to create something that both was safe and kind of met the current guidelines on, you know, gathering and so on. But we wanted also to, you know, stay true to our core mission of, you know, strengthening community relationships, sharing information, and giving away free corn on the cob. So we came up with this picnic in place. We put up a blast out to the community saying, if you want corn delivered to your home, we will, you know, fill out this form. We distributed 1,000 ears of corn to roughly 500 Jefferson County residents all over the county, out into Quilting, out to Port Ludlow, Hadlock, Chewincombe, Port Townsend. We had a team of people that traveled around the county giving away corn to folks that had requested that. And then we encouraged folks to picnic in their front yards and, you know, connect with their neighbors safely at a distance and or, you know, wearing masks. So there was neighborhood picnics taking place throughout the county, not in, you know, concentrated gatherings within neighborhoods so much as neighbors picnicking and then, you know, walking around their neighborhoods and so on. And then we hosted an online, a live stream kind of presentation and panel discussion with Billy Bentz, who's our current emergency manager at the DEM, and Don McDaniel, who is with the Jefferson County PUD, Dick Illman, who's from VCOM, who is a part of the Volunteer Emergency Communications Group, Julia Danskin from Jefferson County Public Health, and Ted Krasinski, who was a former deputy fire chief at East Jefferson, and now he is the lead there at JEFCOM 911. And so we hosted this online presentation yesterday at 5 p.m., and that was kind of somewhat new territory for us, but it went really well. We definitely learned a few lessons on how to go about that most effectively, but it was ultimately really fun and a new territory.
Was it like a Zoom meeting? Did you have faces on screens, or how did that work exactly?
So at the Production Alliance, we have a small team of our leadership team. One of the folks on our team is Kyota Sage. He's the chief technology officer. And he had kind of devised this system using a platform called Twitch, which is, you know, one of these online kind of webinar type platforms that has emerged as a really popular platform for hosting live stream events and so on. And so what essentially with that platform, we had a link. Anyone could go to our website and click the link, and you'd be watching the live stream. You didn't have to have a Zoom account. You didn't have to have a Twitch account. Anybody is this public-facing link for a live stream experience. And so that was blasted out. And essentially what that platform allows is to pull in multiple different streams, as well as pre-recorded videos if you want. And, you know, in real time during the live stream, Kyota essentially was plugging those different channels into what the viewers saw. So, you know, myself, we were filming me as kind of the host presenter. And so that was one channel that he could plug in. And then we had a dedicated Google Hangouts with Willie Bentz where he was giving his presentation. And then we had a Zoom call with the other panelists. And so from the viewer's perspective, you know, it's like a live news broadcast where here you are with Danny Milholland introducing the presentation, and then we're going over to Willie, and he's going to give his piece, and Willie does his presentation, and now Danny introduced Don, and he gives his piece from the PUD, and then we just went through all these things, and then there was this Q&A with everybody present in the Zoom call, and that's what folks saw. So it was, it allowed for kind of a more professional, slick viewer's experience without having to log into Zoom or any other platform. You could just tune in and see this live broadcast, sort of like a newscast, you know, station. And then we could also, Kyota was able to, like, plug in, you know, different graphics and some little intro animation and put up, you know, titles for people's names and what organizations they represent. So it gave a lot more flexibility to create kind of a professional seeming experience. And, you know, we had a few technical difficulties along the way, but nothing that really stopped us up or had us cutting out. We were able to keep it pretty well on point. And I think as we move forward, we're certainly going to improve upon that platform and hope to release future, you know, live streaming content via Twitch. So
this may have triggered or at least contributed to some different ways of approaching these things, even if there's not a pandemic in the future, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think across the board, people are becoming more accustomed to this kind of technology. People are zooming into this and that, you know, certainly as an organization, and many organizations are investing into getting their systems in place for being able to host events, live stream, et cetera. So we're like everyone else, we're trying to adapt and embrace the kind of the technology that's available for this, and, you know, hope to, within our own community, be sort of right there at the forefront with the other organizations and be able to embrace the benefits of these times. So, yeah, it's definitely a learning curve, and I think there certainly we're going to be, in the long run, gaining from that learning, regardless of how things play out with COVID.
How long did this virtual event last?
The virtual event was about an hour and a half, and we had about, it wasn't a ton of viewers. Left, we did another live stream Twitch thing for the cake picnic when we did that in May, and we had something like 500 unique viewers, which was kind of incredible for a first time go of it. For the county picnic, granted, it was perhaps the hottest day of the year, and it was a Sunday, you know, mid-afternoon, and so there wasn't quite as much participation as we were hoping, but it was about 65 unique viewers in that time frame. And, you know, if you think about it like a community meeting, you know, here we're presenting these really relevant information from some of our authorities on COVID here in the county. And, you know, think about it like a community meeting, having 65 people show up, that's a pretty significant crowd, really, I thought. So we felt good about the amount of participation we got and look forward to building upon that.
We're speaking with Danny Milholland, a local event producer who has been part of the team that produces the annual Jefferson County All-County Picnic since it began 8 years ago.
Can you describe what it's like to be there in H.J. Carroll Park on a normal August Sunday? Tell us about the sights and sounds and smells of a normal all-county picnic.
Sure. So typically with the county picnic, it runs from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the third Sunday in August. And like I said, we have about 40 different informational booths, local nonprofits, businesses. We they're in uniform, first responders. You know, for anybody who hasn't been out to H.J. Carroll Park, it's right there near the Chimicum School District. It's one of the most beautiful parks in Jefferson County. It's a big, wide open expanse. It was a formal gravel mine, and it was turned into a spectacular park. There's a pavilion there and this sort of circle zone that we traditionally host the picnic. We usually set up a stage. There's often live music. There's both these informational booths as well as demonstration booths. Last year, we really shifted a lot of energy towards creating demonstrations and having, I think we had three different kind of stages where there's a schedule of demonstrations. Last year, our theme was around food systems, and we had, you know, canning demonstrations and community garden demonstrations, and I think we had, you know, kinds of food to prepare for a disaster, food preservation. Yeah, lots of different zones at the picnic. There's usually, we like to make it a kid-friendly. There's always face painting. There's an obstacle course set up by Twisters Gymnastics. And every year it's a little bit different, but a similar layout, similar, a lot of, you know, participating organizations. There's food vendors, Mo Chili Barbecues usually out there. We usually have some ice cream, you know, Fiddlehead Creameries often part of it. And it's totally free to the public to come out and participate. So it's got this kind of fun, uplifting vibe and is also featuring all this content and information around emergency preparedness, which isn't the most uplifting theme in general. So we've really tried to make it this fun event where that information can be shared in an uplifting way.
Yeah, and last year, as you mentioned, it was the sort of a focus on food, and what I ended up buying myself, even though I was there at the KPTZ booth, I love to participate and wander around, and I got a lot of foods that can go into my grab-and-go bag that are non-perishable, that will stand up for like 10 years, and it's a valuable thing to know. Among the many organizations that are behind the Jefferson County All-County Picnic is Local 2020. When did you get involved?
Wanted to clarify is that I've been involved in Local 2020 peripherally pretty much since the beginning of the picnic. That was really my first time engaging in the picnic. But I've never been essentially a representative of Local 2020. I actually have, you know, my partnership was as Thunderbolt Productions, as a partner organization helping present the picnic. Mm-hmm. And this past year, myself and some of my core collaborators launched a nonprofit called the Production Alliance, and we are co-presenters of the picnic. So I'm not really I can't really speak on behalf of Local 2020. They are a partner of mine, and I love the work that they do, and I can explain with, you know, limited knowledge on the nature of their work as an organization, but I am not, you know, a representative of Local 2020. A representative of the Production Alliance.
Oh, okay. And at the beginning, you told us your title.
Yeah, I'm the Director of Operations for the Production Alliance.
Do you know how Local 2020 is funded?
Well, Local 2020 itself is an all-volunteer organization. They have no paid staff. They have all these different kind of efforts that they are engaged in, including, and I won't be able to name them all, but there's an emergency preparedness group within Local 2020. There is a food systems group. There is an ecology of heart group, something along those lines. And all their work, they are the organization that helped launch the Lion Funding, the Local Investment Opportunities Network. So they have an economy, ecology, community, emergency preparedness. So they have this different action group that are kind of independently active within the community, but, you know, directly connected with Local 2020. So it's not really, you know, a hierarchical system. It's an interesting group, but they're really connected to a lot of different efforts in the community. And the Emergency Preparedness Action Group is the only real group that I have a lot of direct connection with personally. But the steering committee meets probably monthly. They are a 501c3 nonprofit organization that is 100% volunteer. When it comes to the picnic itself, which clearly requires funding, that's actually one of the areas that I've come in and been able to help make the picnic happen by going out and fundraising through sponsored business sponsorships grant writing, and we've also done bandana sales. We've done some really beautiful bandanas that we've sold as to, you know, help support the picnic. So that is kind of an independent production, and my role as Thunderbolt and then now the Production Alliance was helping manage that aspect of the production, which has made it a sustainable endeavor ultimately to have, you know, so many moving parts and so much effort that goes into coordination. It, you know, it does require that kind of financial support.
So your full-time gig is you produce events? Tell me about, is it Thunderbolt? Is that what you said?
Yeah, so I launched Thunderbolt Productions in 2012-13, and the All County Picnic was actually one of my first events, but I was also doing contracts for the Jefferson Land Trust, the Dove House, helping organizations on fundraising events. Before that, I was the manager and booking agent for the performing arts group Nanda and helped them produce many events and produce tours around the country. And so I had a kind of a lot of experience in event production prior to launching Thunderbolt Productions and was able to bring that, you know, that experience, those networks, that capability to these community endeavors. So I launched Thunderbolt Productions as a for-profit personal project to provide event production skills to our community, and ended up over the past, you know, 7-8 years, I've primarily focused on these free community events, which is, you know, there's a reason I've gotten into it, is I believe in community, and I know the power and strength of having a strong community from many personal experiences, and I'm naturally someone that enjoys connecting people and helping build a shared vision, and that's basically the work that I do. And so this past year, as you know, over the past, you know, number of years of doing Thunderbolt Productions and working essentially as sort of a contractor and producer and helping out all these events, I've helped cultivate the Cake Picnic, which is a free community celebration. We give away free cake. The All County Picnic, focused on emergency preparedness. The Old School 4th of July, which is another big countywide free community event. The Mountain Orca and Salmon Festival, another free community event. The Olympic Peninsula Apple and Cider Festival. And then I've been hired to help produce the Jefferson County Farm Tour and also the Chimicamarkan Craft Fair. So pretty much across the board, these are community-driven, community-owned events. And so this past year, I had circled up a group of my core collaborators, and we decided to launch the Production Alliance as an actual nonprofit platform that manages and produces and helps produce these community traditions, which is a better fit than my for-profit Thunderbolt Productions. So Thunderbolt essentially is sort of phased out of the picture, and the Production Alliance has come in as a nonprofit that is here to, you know, support and strengthen and steward our community traditions.
It sounds to me like you're one of these kind of big-time producers from San Francisco or L.A. So tell me, what's your background? Are you a local guy?
I was born and raised in Port Townsend, and my parents were and are activists. They were peace activists. They still are, and I grew up immersed in, you know, their spirited efforts to improve the lot of people on planet Earth. And as a part of that, I was exposed to, you know, their community building efforts. They did a marathon dance for many years of my childhood to support a sister city project with Jalapa, Nicaragua. They helped launch founding members of Rosewind Co-Housing, where I grew up, right across the street from the Port Townsend Eco Village. So I grew up immersed in a very kind of tight-knit Port Townsend community and was instilled with that sense of, you know, we're in this together, we really need to work together, and so on and so forth. So that is ultimately my roots and my background. I jumped on board with the performing arts group Nanda when I was 21 years old, and these are childhood friends of mine that are really talented performing artists and had this group they were launching and starting to get gigs in Seattle, and they did a gig in Cancun, Mexico, and they were like, we're growing, we're going big, we need a manager. And so they hired me, and ultimately I just jumped on board, and we moved onto a tour bus and spent about 5 years traveling all was the, you know, the producer, manager, point man, communications manager, marketing guy. And so I just kind of, through that experience, gained some chops on how to make things happen. And in 2012, I moved back home to Port Townsend, and I always knew I wanted to come back to Port Townsend. I never thought I would settle into a big city as my home, even though I spent a lot of time in cities during that time with Nanda. We lived in Portland for a number of years, in Seattle for a time, and did a lot of performances all over the country in many cities, as well as small communities. But I always thought I'd come home to Port Townsend, and we, in a kind of a point of transition within Nanda, I made that choice and moved back home in 2012, and then thereafter launched Thunderbolt Productions and just started getting more involved locally, and here we are, years later, still in the midst.
Quite a story. Last question is always, is there anything I did not ask you about that you'd like to add?
Well, I think that, you know, this is a time of so much transition this year, and I feel like we're, transition is a new trend. Like, I think we're going to be in transition for a while, and I think in that there's a great opportunity to make changes that we want to see, and so this is a great time to be active and flexible and just willing to go with the flow, but it's a great time to be active in creating the change we really want to see in our community and in the world. And so I guess this, my parting words of encouragement, that we find ways to stay connected and keep sharing our ideas and sharing our visions and working together, even so physical contact isn't as appropriate in this time. Just lots of love to the community and sharing that feeling that we are in this together and we've got work to do.
With local event producer Danny Milholland, who helped stage a virtual version of the Jefferson County All-County Picnic, this is David Cunningham for KPTZ News. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon with repeat airings Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. exclusively here on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.